praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. Today, we're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry, along with some of our own considerations. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, please enjoy today's program.
Once again today, our life study covers the matter of Joseph and his reigning in the final stage of his life. And Ron Kangas has been kind enough to join us again and fellowship about Genesis. And Ron, these are wonderful portions, aren't they?
Yes, it's good to be here with you on this particular subject. And the portions that we will concentrate on are very precious in the sense that they're full of life, full of light. And for those that want to really advance in the growth in life to maturity, are exceedingly helpful.
Ron, this is the first of a two-part message today where Joseph, in the final stage of his experience, fully typifies Christ. It's a wonderful picture. Would you summarize very briefly the story of Joseph and his brothers, emphasizing how the whole world came to be under famine and all had to come to Joseph for the supply?
Now, this matter of the famine at the time that Joseph was in Egypt, and even this was under God's sovereignty, because eventually it made it necessary for some of Jacob's sons and Joseph's brothers to go to Egypt for life supply. But our interest is on, again, the life experience and on spiritual application. And so there is an emphasis not only on the famine itself, but on this inner sense of dissatisfaction. When we speak of a famine, we mean that there is a serious lack of food because the agriculture, the farmers, have suffered severe loss. It could be extreme heat and dryness without rain, but the fact is, there is virtually no food being produced. So that creates a dire situation. But in this message, we're emphasizing, you could say, the inner feeling of dissatisfaction. So someone, let's just say an unbeliever, senses there's an emptiness within. So she or he tries to find nourishment, tries to find enjoyment in certain things that are contrary to God but are of the world system. And then if they're honest, after they've fed upon and ingested these things, they have to admit they're not satisfied. What they took in doesn't satisfy them. And sooner or later, we need to face this kind of situation, even as believers. And our brother Lee is able to give a faithful and clear and enlightening testimony that his daily living of coming to the Lord as the bread of life, as the tree of life, just feasting on him, like the Lord said in John 6:57, he who eats me shall live because of me, that there's a sense of satisfaction when we take in the real food, which addresses and meets the hunger deep within us. In Deuteronomy, you have a reference to the abundance of the good land, signifying the all-inclusive Christ, and how when God's people feast upon these spiritual riches, that we're just satisfied. And I would add this, we're talking about a personal spiritual matter between every believer and the Lord. We're standing before him. We're contacting him. What will we say? Can we say, Lord, I am deeply satisfied. I am just filled with your life supply. Or do we have to admit, Lord, I'm not satisfied. I'm dissatisfied. My hunger has not been met. It's a mercy that we can be enlightened concerning this and confess this to the Lord. Then, in his loving heart, he will nourish us with himself as the real food, and we really will be satisfied.
Ron, it's been astounding to me, as we've been in these life studies and these final passages of Genesis, what has been opened. Let's join Witness Lee with this life study from Genesis.
If we have been following all the steps of Jacob, and we have come to his highest attainment, that he got matured in life, then we can see the story here is not a story. It is the reigning aspect of the matured saint. This view changes your understanding absolutely. It revolutionizes your understanding. It is not a kindergarten story. It is what? A record of the reigning aspect of a mature life. I picked up a new word this morning, rulership. This is not a kindergarten story. This is the record of the rulership.
Amen.
The rulership of the Spirit.
Amen.
Isn't this a new term?
Amen.
I like this. The rulership of the Spirit. Not just the infilling of the Spirit. Not just the indwelling of the Spirit. But rulership of the Spirit. I heard the regeneration of the Spirit. I heard the conviction of the Spirit. I heard the indwelling of the Spirit. I heard the infilling of the Spirit. I heard the anointing of the Spirit. I heard the power of the Spirit. And I heard the light of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit. I heard more than these. The edification, the building up. I never heard such a wonderful, excellent expression. The rulership of the Spirit. I tell you this morning, this is altogether what we need.
Yeah.
Even your young people need what? The rulership of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yet you have to realize this rulership of the Spirit is higher than all the foregoing items of the Spirit. Regeneration is at the bottom. I have to say, even the building of the Spirit is under the rulership of the Spirit.
Amen.
The rulership of the Spirit is the top stone, the capstone, to cover the whole structure of the teaching of the Spirit. This is the top stone. Now this morning, we are here dealing with the top stone concerning the Spirit. What it is? The rulership of the Spirit.
Amen.
The reigning aspect of the matured saint.
Amen.
Well, Ron, we have a new aspect of the Spirit introduced in this portion, and that is the rulership of the Spirit. How do we see the application of such a term in Joseph's life?
We may have some understanding of the Spirit being the Spirit of life, but the rulership of the Spirit, what is that? Well, we need to understand this in the context of Joseph's experience in Egypt and the spiritual significance of that experience. We've already emphasized that Joseph's life and experiences recorded in Genesis signify the reigning aspect of a mature spiritual life. So Jacob, becoming Israel, eventually he represents a full-grown spiritual person, filled with the divine life, not only changed from being natural to being in the resurrection life of Christ, but being permeated, saturated, filled with that transforming life. Then Joseph in typology signifies how this mature life issues in reigning in life. And Paul mentions this in Romans 5, that we reign in life, verse 17, by the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. But we can reign in life in this way only when we ourselves are under the divine ruling, under the governmental administration of God, under the lordship of Christ, under his unique headship. We, like the Lord Jesus mentioned in Matthew 8, are persons under authority. We are under rule. Only that kind of person can rule. Well, Joseph's experiences in Egypt trained him to recognize God's sovereignty in arranging the environment for him to be in Egypt, and even God's sovereignty in arranging him to spend time in prison. Eventually, Joseph recognized that he needs to submit to the Lord's sovereign arrangement of his circumstances. Then some years went by, and then in a very short period of time, when Pharaoh has a dream and no one can interpret it, and then Pharaoh was told about this man in prison who can do it, then immediately Joseph is called for, he's released from prison, he's brought to Pharaoh, he interprets the dream, then he goes on to suggest how the matter should be handled during the years of plenty and the years of famine that were to come. Then Pharaoh put him virtually in charge of the whole situation. So Joseph is now reigning there. You can tell Joseph was under the rulership of the Spirit. The Spirit is governing him, limiting him, directing him, leading him. And so the way he behaved when his brothers began to appear on the scene and they did not recognize them, he didn't use his authority to punish them, to get revenge. Neither was he governed by just natural affection and all kinds of sentiment so that his emotions were running wild. He was a person under the rulership of the Spirit, so he could reign in purity and in righteousness and in wisdom in how he, you could say, disciplined the brothers and how he arranged for the right situation to make himself known. Then after their father Jacob died and the brothers were afraid, now what will Joseph do with us? We're in Egypt under his authority. And Joseph said, really, God sent me here to save life. He realized behind the scene of what the brothers did to him was the sovereign hand of God. So he said, we have nothing to fear, that I'm under the rule of the Spirit itself. So this is a beautiful picture of reigning in life described by Paul in Romans 5. And this requires the maturity in life. It also requires very specific, thorough, and even lengthy discipline of the Holy Spirit to train us so that when we are placed in that position of responsibility, we are under the rulership of the Spirit, we are under the rule of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is a picture of a mature life with the reigning aspect, not only transformed, not only mature, but reigning in life. And this kind of person, signified by Joseph, he knows how to distribute all the food supply that was stored up. He realized the whole world is in a famine. The people in Egypt were in a famine. And eventually the people in the world realized we're in this desperate situation. Where shall we go? The only place to go in the time of this famine was Egypt, and to be in subjection to Joseph to fulfill the conditions for receiving the life supply. And so spiritually speaking, in the application, there is a famine all over the earth today, spiritually speaking. And there is on the earth today spiritual Josephs who know where the rich supply of ministry is and will gladly share it with those who would come in humility and admit they are starving, they are hungry, they're dissatisfied. We need the real life supply, and they will be graciously and lovingly supplied.
Thanks, Ron. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
If we look into all the verses concerning Joseph, we realize nearly every verse is a part of the portrait of such a vivid picture describing and portraying Christ. Firstly, here it says, the whole earth was under famine. Don't you realize this is today's situation? Famine, we all know, indicates the shortage of food. Food not only affords you the existing substance, but also the satisfaction. I'm so satisfied. I'm so happy. I'm filled up with good food. So famine actually means what? Means dissatisfaction. The whole world today is under what? Under famine. Under dissatisfaction. It's under dissatisfaction. Not only so, even the U.S., the number one country, is under dissatisfaction. The world situation today is just one, under famine. Then number two, food is only where Christ is. Where Christ is, there is satisfaction. Now I would say today, where Christ is? In the church.
Amen.
I tell you, if in the church we still don't have satisfaction, that means what? We are under famine.
Amen.
Are we under famine this morning?
No.
No. I would declare, I am under what? Satisfaction.
Amen.
I'm nourished. I am filled up.
Amen.
Are you not satisfied?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this is the land of satisfaction.
Amen.
The church is the territory of satisfaction.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ is here.
Amen.
Food, nourishment, and satisfaction are only where Christ is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I turned to Christ.
Amen.
I just turned to Christ. We turned to Christ.
Amen.
And we got what? We got the food.
Amen.
We got the nourishment.
Amen.
And we got the satisfaction.
Amen.
Food is here because Christ is here. Food is only where Christ is.
Ron, we need to consider this connection between famine and dissatisfaction. This really describes our own condition apart from our enjoyment of Christ, as our rich food supply, as well as the condition of the whole world, doesn't it?
Famine indicates, due to an environment that is causing the food supply to be virtually non-existent, there just isn't the food. Famine means there just isn't the life supply. It's not available. But from the other side, when we are the ones suffering in a famine, we're going to have a sense of dissatisfaction. So this is the connection. The famine is the lack of the needed food supply. But the inner experience of those that are in desperate need of this supply is this constant sense of dissatisfaction. There is nothing in my own personal life, in my own circumstances, that can satisfy this need deep within me. So I am motivated not only by the outward fact of a famine, I am motivated, even driven by this inner sense of dissatisfaction. And we may say, if unbelievers and believers alike, who really are in a state of dissatisfaction, if they would acknowledge this, then they are indicating the situation that is over the whole earth right now. It's famine all over the earth. The only life supply is with Joseph, and Joseph is Christ reigning in life with the abundant supply of life to all those who admit there's a famine, they're dissatisfied, and they come to the unique source, Christ Himself, for the food of life.
Thanks, Ron. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the final section of today's life study.
We are the most clever people. We really know where we have to spend our time. I tell you, this is the top place for you young people to spend your time in. To spend your youth. In any other place, it's not so good as you do here. I'm happy. When I was 17, 18, I wasted my time in so many playgrounds. Eventually, I discovered the dissatisfaction. And I turned to Christ. And now, I'm still in the good land. I tell you, any time spent by you in this good land is more than worthwhile. I like this land because Christ is here. All the time, after reading the newspaper, I said, these people, they don't know. All the top ones in their conferences, they just talk nonsense. They're all together ignorant and foolish. They are fools there. To have this conference and another one in Geneva, all the conferences held since history in Geneva are nonsensical talks. Better come here and talk about the Bible. This is the most philosophical, logical, sensible, reasonable talks here. We are not any longer ignorant here. Why? Because we are no longer ignorant of Christ.
Well, Ron, in this last portion, we diverted a little from the direct exposition of the text to a personal word from Witness Lee with his own testimony from his youth. And he spoke to young people that to spend our time exploring this wonderful person of Christ is really the top thing. It's not only satisfying, but really it is the most worthwhile thing that we can do. Isn't it, Ron?
After Brother Lee was saved, he read the Bible continuously. But then there was a major turn in which he realized that the Bible is really revealing Christ, testifying concerning Christ. In John chapter 5, verses 39 and following a few, the Lord said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, But these are they that testify concerning me. But you will not come to me that you may have life. Since the Bible itself is focused on Christ, then we need to take the same kind of step that our brother did and focus on exploring, searching, seeking this wonderful person. And if we would focus on the Lord Himself when reading the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures, in our life before the Lord, yes, we may bring all manner of concerns to Him in our prayers, but eventually we should turn our heart to Him, express our love for Him, our faith in Him, our desire to know Him. We can learn from Paul's pattern exhibited in Philippians chapter 3, but he said, I want to know Him, Christ, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. And then he said, I have not attained. I haven't arrived. I press on. I stretch forward to the things that are ahead. And these things that are ahead are all related to this wonderful person of Christ, whom we should explore in the Scriptures and experience in our daily life and enjoy more and more, learning to explore Him, to seek Him, to search for Him. I do this personally, but I can do it much more fully in a broader way when I'm pursuing Christ in the church with so many seeking saints who love the Lord with the first love and express this love in the first works. And together we will seek Him and eventually explore the immeasurable dimensions of the wonderful Christ we are exploring now, in the coming age, and we believe forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for your fellowship today, Ron.
Thank you again for letting me participate in this.
You can call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can email us radio@lsm.org. Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
We hope you enjoyed this program. For more information on Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, please visit our website, lsm.org. Again, that's lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.